Welcome to Women Who Move Nations, the public transport podcast where we interview senior female leaders working in public transport and sustainable mobility from around the world. I'm your host, Michelle Batsis, the Executive Director of UITP, the International Association of Public Transport here in Australia and New Zealand. We're raising the voices of women for everyone who works in transport and mobility, and particularly any young women listening out there who are early in their transport careers and looking for inspiration. You're listening to another episode of Women Who Move Nations, the public transport podcast. I'm your host, Michelle Batsis, and thanks for joining me. Our guest today is Hiba Fares, the Chief Executive Officer of RATP Dev, one of the world's leading public transport operators. Hiba, welcome. I'm so excited to know you and get to hear more about your amazing career and work today. So thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Michelle, for having me on this podcast.
It's so great to have you here, Hiba. I have looked at your career CV and your bio, and I can see that you joined RATP Group in 2018 as a member of the executive committee and as Senior Vice President of Customer Experience, Marketing and Services, and that before you joined RATP Dev, you spent over a decade at Accor Group, the global hotel company, and you've also had significant international experience in the transport sector from your time working for Air France. So I'm keen to hear more about that today, and I understand you became the Chief Executive Officer for RATP Dev in January 2022, so very recently. So I was actually going to ask you, Hiba, just to start, could you share with us how have your first few months in the role been at RATP Dev and what are your key priorities?
Yeah, well, let me start by introducing RATP Dev. I don't think everybody knows about this company. We are a wholly owned subsidiary of RATP Group. RATP Group, as you might know, operates in Paris region's vast transport network. And we are now the third largest public transport operator in the world with networks in 14 countries. So we employ over 30,000 people worldwide, and we operate more than 10 transportation systems spanning metro lines, tramways, buses, intercity rails line, and more. And we are partnering with over 780 cities worldwide, and we are really committed to helping cities meet the demands for smart and sustainable mobility over many years. So I spent my first 3 months mainly meeting the teams and meeting our main clients all over the world. I am delighted to have joined this company at such an exciting time in its history. This year, we are celebrating the 20th anniversary of RATP Dev, and we are entering a new phase of our development based on maturity, robustness, profitable and sustainable growth. Our strategic priorities are to continue to develop our business by strengthening our leadership in the countries where we are already present, particularly in Europe and France, and expanding our leadership in automatic metros in countries such as Australia, Singapore, or Canada.
That's a great overview, Hiba. Thank you for that. And yeah, I'm aware that RATP Dev has set up an office in Australia, which is very exciting to see international experience, you know, continue to be attracted to our region down under, which is great. You know, one of the things, and I'm sure you've seen this in your role, the key issue for us in the public transport sector is the dramatic drop in ridership numbers that we've seen in cities around the world. And actually what we know is that if we want a future of clean air and low traffic congestion, we need to get people out of their cars and we need to get them using greener travel options, including public transport. And so what I wanted to ask you is, what do you think are the key initiatives our industry can focus on to bring passengers back and ensure a sustainable transport future?
Yeah, Michelle, as you are saying it, public transport use has been greatly affected by the pandemic and has not returned to pre-crisis levels of ridership yet. But we remain really convinced that public transport has a key role to play in combating global warming, creating more inclusive and enjoyable cities. So we are really eager to have our passengers back. I think that the current oil crisis due to war might be an opportunity for people in taking better mobility habits, leaving their cars, switching to public transport, maybe because it's cheaper or because it's greener, but any of these reasons would work. In parallel, our industry must concentrate on the quality of user experience. As you mentioned it, I really worked a lot in this field. And we need to persuade passengers to return to public transport. User will expect transport's operations to be safe. This is really our main priority, to be efficient, to be reliable, but also equipped to provide a comfortable, clean, sustainable method of traveling around urban areas. So I really think it's our daily job to innovate and to provide an easy and seamless experience to our passengers in order to make them come back to our transport systems.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I think a really important part of this is the customer experience. And you've touched on that in terms of the safety and the perceptions that customers have and how easy we make it for them to use the network. And I wanted to ask you a bit more about customer experience, because I know you were responsible for that in your previous role. And I understand that in 2021, you led the development of Bonjour RATP. My French is not so good. I understand it's an app that aims to combine a range of travel options, including bus, train, tram, and carpooling into one app. So, I mean, to me, it actually seems to really embody some of the elements of mobility as a service. So I wanted to ask you a bit more about this app, because it definitely sounds like a really leading initiative. And what were the key challenges in bringing that project together, and how did you overcome them?
Yeah, well, digital for me is a great way to offer a customized experience while dealing with mass transit, as we do in public transport. And mass applications are key in making mobility easier. So RATP invested heavily in this field, and I was the one in charge. With our app, Bonjour RATP, so you pronounced it very well, don't worry. This app allows users to plan, book, and pay multiple modes of transport, such as public transport, bikes, scooters, etc., in only one click. But as you might know, mass remains quite challenging. First, because commercially, the business model is not fully developed yet. Most mass actors get paid very little per use. And then technically, mass presents challenges related to all issues linked to interoperability, APIs, unified account management, etc., etc. So a lot of technical issues to solve again. And in terms of governance, mass means cooperation between stakeholders, especially with regard to data sharing in real time. So this is another issue to tackle. So in order to overcome some of these challenges and boost our offer, RATP Group acquired Mappy last year. It's the third largest mobility player in France after Google Maps and Waze. And work is still under progress with all the stakeholders to tackle some of these challenges I mentioned earlier.
Yeah, that's very interesting, actually. It'll be great to see, you know, how that acquisition of that company then boosts your ability to provide customer information. So we'll keep an eye to see the development and look forward to hearing more as you roll that out. You know, I want to talk to you about another trend in public transport. It's really about the workforce and the diversity of the workforce, and in particular, the increase in representation of women at a senior level. I mean, this is at the heart of why we're doing this podcast, to profile women, to encourage other women, to inspire women as well. And I wanted to ask you, you know, from RATP Group, what are the initiatives that RATP is leading to bring more diversity into your workforce? And have you got any initiatives to raise the representation of women at a senior level?
RATP Group is, for me, an exception among French groups, because our executive committee is fully mixed. Half of the positions are occupied by women already. And in the recent history of this group, we had three women CEOs. They were the one who drove this change. And our biggest role model is our maintenance and our maintenance director, who happens to be a woman. Her name is Sylvie Buglioni. So really, we have a strong representation of women in operational and in technical lead positions. And this role model issue is really key for us to encourage women, young engineers in joining public transport. And for RATP Dev, when we operate transport system in countries such as Saudi Arabia or Egypt, we really have a particular focus to attract women to join us, whether to drive buses, to drive metros, or to join our maintenance teams. So we're really active in attracting women in our group.
That's so great to hear that you're doing that. And in different countries as well, it's particularly great to hear that you have women in operational technical roles at a leadership level. I think often we're seeing more and more representation of women in roles, perhaps though, that are more in the corporate services area or in marketing. But it's actually great to hear that you've got women in operational roles, because we do need to see more of those. You know, I wanted to ask you, Hiba, in terms of your own career, I'd love to hear more about your experience, you know, in an operational sense and the types of different things that you've done to lead you to your role as CEO of RATP Dev. And as I mentioned earlier, I know that you've worked in service industries. You were at Air France, then Accor Hotels, and then you joined RATP Group in 2018. So I wanted to ask you, what lessons have you brought from your previous roles? And how does that support you to be a leader in the public transport sector?
Public transport is a unique sector where we deal with millions of passengers daily. The challenge is and has always been to offer them a safe trip, punctual trains, punctual buses, and with as few incidents as possible. My own experience in prior sectors, such as hotel industry or airline industry, brought me to the conclusion that though it is essential to bring all this safe and punctual trains, it is not enough any longer. I think through all the interviews we have, public transport customers all over the world express the need to have more. They want a more precise information to plan their trip, an easier ticketing, a better quality of service, and some novelty thanks to art and culture in the networks. This is what we try to bring in RATP Dev in every city where we operate, through our teams and through digital solutions, as we mentioned earlier.
Yeah, it's interesting though to think about public transport being a unique sector, but then also the expectations of customers, which I think are universal and continue to change. Hiba, I wanted to talk a little bit more around your professional experience and particularly about your education as well, because something that's really come across in some of my interviews on this podcast is the importance of education in supporting women in their leadership journeys. And I think that what's very interesting is that theme just comes through so strongly in different conversations. And I understand you studied business in Paris, you've been to Harvard Business School, and you also hold an MBA. How do you think your education has shaped and supported your career journey?
I was raised with the idea that education is key in life, professionally, financially, and personally. In my case, this happens really to be true. My MBA, as you mentioned it, has allowed me to join top companies in their fields. And my educational background also helped me convince some of my former managers of my ability to completely change my career paths and fields when I needed to do so. As for my executive program at Harvard, it definitely helped me to gain confidence, to reflect on myself, and to find the good balance in my life. I can't encourage you enough to read Clayton Christensen's How Will You Measure Your Life? It was a book that really touched me and changed things in the way I apprehend my life and work.
Thank you for sharing. It's really inspiring to hear that. And I really relate, actually, because I was also raised with the idea that education is key to life, you know, coming from a migrant family background. It's interesting you say that the program you went to at Harvard really helped with your confidence and your reflection, because kind of leads into my next question. Something that I hear often from women I speak to, my peers, colleagues, and also the women that I've interviewed on our podcast, is that women do, in particular, really struggle with confidence and this concept of imposter syndrome. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with that term, but this idea that actually there can be just a little voice in the back of our minds. It's like, oh, I'm not good enough to be here, or you've got a lot of self-doubt. And I wanted to ask you, you know, personally, have you ever experienced these feelings, you know, where you're kind of lacking confidence, and how have you overcome them? Or do you have any advice for women who find themselves in that position?
So I had the opportunity in having very strong women in my family. They succeeded investing in their careers while having a family life and while raising children. They were and still are a role model for me. But like a lot of women, there is always questions about whether one is fit for taking responsibilities. In these cases, what I do is my answer is to look around me, to watch men, to watch women doing equivalent jobs, to trying to read about their background, their careers, to watch them, and to tell myself that there is no reason I won't be able to achieve the same. And it makes my confidence boost. And I think real confidence comes with experience. changing companies, changing jobs, being able to adapt, being fully engaged and doing things our own way.
Thanks for sharing that and your advice around that as well. You know, I think it's really interesting and you kind of talking about changing jobs, because I think it's something that, you know, they say like the younger people, right? The millennials, the Gen Zs don't want to stay in their job for more than 2 years. And then I think other people though find it kind of hard or scary to change jobs. So it's good to hear you actually talk about that, because I guess that's part of the experience that you build, which provides that level of confidence.
Yes, definitely. I think new experiences, new sectors, new approaches really are a way to test oneself, to adapt and to gain confidence.
Yeah, exactly. You know, as part of this, right, because I think there's something with, you know, women who are perhaps lacking confidence or doubting themselves, there must be a component of that which has really gotten in the way around the gender pay gap. And obviously, there's many companies now that are working to achieve pay parity. But I understand in Australia, for example, the gender pay gap in the transport sector is 15.9%. And actually, I think the percentage of CEOs in transport in Australia that are female is 4%, right? So it's very low numbers. And I wanted to ask you for your thoughts and any advice you have for women who are wanting to position themselves for a more senior role. You know, maybe they're trying to pitch themselves or they're going for a role that's more senior. Do you have any advice for them? And also your thoughts on how they can negotiate their salary to best position themselves?
Well, I don't know if I have advice, but I think a lot about negotiation. And I think that negotiating is really an art. And usually women excel in it in their personal life with their partners, with their children, etc. So I think it should be the same as far as work is concerned. For me, negotiation is something I prepare carefully, whether it is a work negotiation, whether it is a salary negotiation, etc. Negotiating means to have a deep understanding of the people we are negotiating with and the culture of a company. What is acceptable? What is not? And it needs to be carefully prepared with the preparation of arguments, objections, and even what compromise we are able to live with. Though it's sometimes it is stressful, it is a stressful exercise, I try to think about negotiation as a game. And one thing is sure, that the chances of having a more senior role or having a higher salary are bigger when we ask for it and show a true motivation. Nobody is in your head. Nobody knows what you really want unless you express it. I think women should dare more, should go and ask for senior positions, should go and ask for better salaries. And this is the way we move countries in order to a better woman acceptance in work life.
Hiba, that's actually great advice. And I've never really thought about that just in such detail around the importance of negotiation and how that's a natural skill set that women have actually, just about how you apply it. Yeah, it's really fascinating. This kind of leads into my next question, because you're a CEO, you know, it's just incredible in an industry where really there aren't many female CEOs at all in transport. And I know that that's changing and it's fantastic to see RATP leading the way on this. But I wanted to ask you, I mean, you've had this incredible career journey. How do you plan your career? Like, have you put a plan in place that in 5 years I'm going to be here, in 10 years I'm going to be there? Or have you just taken the opportunities as they've come?
I definitely do not have a 10-year career plan, but I usually have an idea about my next career move, what I really want to do. And usually I do my best to make it happen, to meet the right people, to have the right sponsors, and to make it happen. So no, I'm not a long career planner. I think opportunities come to us and we should be ready to take them.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Thanks for sharing, because a lot of women I have interviewed do have career plans, but there are some that don't and actually, you know, just kind of take an opportunity that feels right or, you know, have kind of got an idea in their mind but not planned it out. So that's really interesting to hear. Can I ask you a question? And this is a bit off script, if so, but when you joined RATP, Dev, in 2018, were you thinking at that time you'd like to be CEO or how did that come about?
No, when I joined RATP, it was really to improve customer experience in public transport. This was my only goal. But then after then, when I started knowing the company better, I saw the opportunity of this job in RATP Dev to export internationally the French expertise in public transport. And then I knew that I wanted this job. And I started preparing myself to this position. And I really did my best in order to convince all the stakeholders that I was the one they needed for this job. So this is what I was telling you. I just have this ambition for my next move and I try to make it happen.
Well, it's awesome. It's inspiring to hear you share that, Hiba, actually. So thank you. And congratulations. I think it's awesome, you know, that you were able to position yourself and achieve, you know, this role and, you know, being the CEO of RATP Dev, you know, and across 10 countries. I think that's incredible. I wanted to ask you, it's my last question. And I always ask this question. Actually, in our audience, we have a variety of people of different ages listening. However, we started this podcast to inspire younger women, and I always like to ask a question. If you've got any advice that you would like to share for younger female women who are coming up through the transport ranks?
As transport professionals, we are very lucky. We are really lucky to work in the field that contributes in making the world a better place, and it is, and I really believe it. So we make cities more breathable, we reduce congestion, we contribute massively to carbon footprint reduction. And this is not the case of a lot of sectors. So my message to women who are thinking about joining us is that if you are looking for a career that really makes sense, that you want to change the world, join us. It is a business where women can have a great impact and they could have some incredible careers.
Awesome. Thanks, Hiba. That was actually a really nice call out to people to join the sector. You know, I don't know if you have this situation in Europe, but here we actually don't have enough people in the workforce, you know, so there's a talent shortage. So we definitely want to encourage as many people to join the sector as possible.
Yeah, it is crazy in Europe, and it is even worse in the United States where we operate. It is our main issue currently.
Yeah, absolutely. Hiba, I've come to the end of my questions, but I just wanted to ask you, is there anything that you would like to share, or do you have some final words for our audience?
RATP Dev, we are really happy and excited to be part of the bids coming to operate some new metro lines, some trains in Australia and all Asia Pacific region. So we are really excited about these opportunities, and hopefully we will be one of your top operators in Australia soon. So thank you for having me, and thank you for this opportunity to talk about myself and my company. Thank you, Michelle.
Oh, thank you, Hiba. It's been really great to get to know you more today and hear more about RATP Dev, but also about your career and advice and insights as well, because it's actually been really inspiring. So thank you. And I'm going to practice my French. Au revoir.
Au revoir, Michelle.
That was Hiba Farez, the Chief Executive Officer of RATP Dev. I'm your host, Michelle Batsis, and I hope you'll tune in again soon to hear from more inspiring women who move nations. Thank you for listening to Women Who Move Nations, the public transport podcast. This series is co-produced by Dylan Adler with copywriting by Sophia Dickinson. Please continue to join us as we raise the voices of women in the public transport and sustainable mobility industry. I'm Michelle Batsis. Keep safe and keep our nations moving.